This is an Envoice Media podcast. You're listening to Criminal Code, our story behind bars.
Welcome to the podcast Criminal Code. We talk all things prison. I'm your host, Tony. We have Sam here as well, and we have our two special guests and co-stars, actually, in the Criminal Code cartoon. We have Tay here in the red and Zoe over there at the end. Thank you guys for coming in and joining us to
for another show.
You know, we decided to do one all together, the four of us. Other episodes were just, you know, little pieces of all of us, but now you got all of us on the same screen. You know, before we get into the prison life, I wanted to get your guys' take on this whole Puff Daddy or P. Diddy situation, and then we'll get into our stuff. But what are you guys thinking?
Oh man, I feel sorry for him. It's kind of crazy, you know. He's an icon,
right?
A lot of people look up to him. You know, it's kind of sad.
Well, I think isn't it where they didn't arrest him?
No, not
so
yet.
When they saw him, they didn't grab him. So
they got him off the plane, I think. I was reading.
I don't know. Like, I think he was.
Or they were trying to talk to him when he landed back in Miami, because I know he was out with his daughters.
I think he's a fall guy, though. The conspiracy theory is, I think he's a fall guy for a bigger thing. There's probably a lot more important people with more money, and they wanted to just throw everyone off and put it under P. Diddy. Because he's the icon, like you mentioned, so everyone's like recognizable versus all the big, powerful people out there with money that doesn't want to get exposed. So they're like, okay, you got to take the fall. Like, I don't know. Like, at a certain point, it's like, this is how sick people are, right? You end up, he's considered like a billionaire. He's probably has, you know, if he's not a billionaire, probably a couple hundred million dollars or close to a billion. Right.
And his jet.
But yet, he's still got to do some crazy shit like this to get people entertaining. I don't know. It's weird.
You're not safe. You know, when the as soon as the feds, they're at your door, they did some homework.
Right? Yeah, they ain't coming for nothing.
No, man. A lot of their questions are rhetorical. They already know the answer, but
it's like Jeffrey Epstein, right? He ended up having this thing, and he could expose so many more people. Mm-hmm. So they called it a suicide.
Shoot.
You think he committed suicide?
No.
He was about to rot out everybody.
Yeah.
Shoot.
His days were numbered. I don't know. Diddy might have to, not looking good, but I hope everyone and everything is going to be okay for that man.
Yeah. I hope so, too.
Yeah, me too.
It's a sad, sad, sad day.
Yeah.
But, you know, on top of it, it's just, you know, the topic of human trafficking in general is a hot topic these days.
Yeah.
And it's like we just need to be aware of what's going on in our surroundings, people around us, and, like, make sure that we don't help in that situation, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
You know.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking to hear. Yeah, I was like, wow, human trafficking. Yeah.
Well, I know they got the phones. I don't know about you guys, but phones are dangerous. Man.
Phones will do it too.
Yeah. They got phones both sides over in L.A. and I think Miami, wherever the houses were at. But, you know, whatever happens.
It's just a weird situation. Like, growing up in that hip-hop era, even seeing Death Row and now Family Bad Boy, like, taking a fall,
everybody's taking a fall.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, like, that I'm getting to his age, and it's, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys are here again, coming back to Southern California. Kind of like a reunion show for us, because it's been a while that we've all been together, and, you know, like, I think it would be kind of cool to, you know, talk about some fun things or, like, comical things, entertaining things that we went through in prison.
Yeah.
That we can laugh about, because, like, even though prison is, like, very dark and very, like, sad and depressing topic, I mean, while the time that we were in there, it was kind of funny. There was a lot of funny things, right?
And good things come out of it.
Good things out of it, like friendship like this.
Right.
We're all here now, but so for those of you who don't know, we all met at Morgantown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and I was talking last episode how you saved us from possibly, you know, spending a little more time when Criminal Code was was caught during a shakedown, but
yeah,
but a couple of reasons too we wanted to come out here was because, you know, obviously we spent a lot of time. Sometimes we're serious, sometimes we're funny.
Mm-hmm.
One of the episodes we were talking about, the doctor was washing his nuts
in
the sink.
man.
In our dad, but you know, getting to that, and we'll talk about Morgantown specifically. You know, what would probably be the craziest thing that you've seen happen in Morgantown?
The craziest. I would say a guy frying chicken and fish out of trash can.
Dude,
that was like that, like chopped it all for me.
How the hell are they frying?
Man, what they did was they made a stinger. They got a trash can, and I don't know, you know, how tough them trash cans is, but you can fry stuff in them.
What are they using?
Oil. They use cooking grease.
Yeah, I was obsolete to all the cooking. You guys were all the masters.
Oh, man.
I ate it. Yeah. I didn't know how to cook anything in there.
Wait, I've never seen anyone actually fry something in a trash can. So how does that work? Like, they put something, how do they heat up the heat or oil?
They make a stinger. What they do, they take an iron and they cut off the plug.
Okay.
Right? And they like tape it off to where the wires don't touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then put that into the trash can, whether it's water or whether it's grease, and then plug it in. And once they do that, it just start getting hot. It like heats up. It's crazy.
But can't you get caught? They're gonna see the smoke.
I mean, there's no smoke. No smoke.
If you're frying something, no.
No,
I don't know. I never got that sophisticated.
No. But you gotta know,
cooking wise.
In them other dorms, like, you know, we was kind of in a restricted dorm.
Right.
They don't really be going around checking in and all that stuff.
Right, right.
So, mm-hmm.
Like, kind of restricted.
Every section is like a laboratory. Like, one person might be writing, one person might be cooking, one person might be making a shank, like anything. Like, it's just.
I remember pizzas.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, in our prison, they didn't have like microwaves and stuff because they said it's dangerous.
Yeah.
So they had hot water. We called 180, right?
180, yeah.
And it doesn't even get hotter than 180. I think regular boiling water is like 210, something like that, 220.
Yeah.
But the water that they give us is like 180, and you use that kind of like as an oven, right? Like we put 180 water into a trash, like a plastic bag, and if you make a little burrito wrap with it, you wrap the burrito into a plastic wrap, and then you put the water in there and let it sit there for like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You wrap it up with like cheese, pepperoni. You know, I made
those
some pretty bomb
burritos,
wraps, man.
Yeah. It seemed like the more stuff you put in it, the better it tastes.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and then you buy things you can't get at the commissary from the kitchen, right? Like from guys like, hey, let me buy some onions.
Yeah,
let me buy some cheese.
Onions,
let me buy this.
Peppers.
And then peppers.
That was my favorite, yeah.
That's the whole thing. You got to have a kitchen plug.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, but in Morgantown, who made the best pies?
Oh, yeah, you did.
Right here, baby.
Yeah, I had to give it to you on that one. I had to give it to you on that one.
But the recipe that I got was from an old like cellmate that I had when I first went in to RDAP. Mm-hmm. And he had this like crazy peanut butter mud pie type of recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like going in, I didn't know anything about cooking or anything about how to cook with prison stuff. And I was like, dude, they're like, you want a little peanut butter pie? I was like, sure. And I was like, ate that. I was like, oh my God, this is like ice cream and pie, everything in one. And I was like, hey, let me get the recipe. He goes, oh man, if I give you the recipe, you know, it was gonna happen. It's like, no one knows his recipe. And he's like, So anyways, he gave it to me before he left. And it was good, right?
A Michelin star pie, man. Right?
Man, for real.
Even the crust is like, what is it? The vanilla wafers?
Like, how the hell did you even make it?
Yeah, vanilla wafers. You sit there and put vanilla wafers in a plastic bag. And you basically crunch it up into little like crumbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add a little bit of hot water into it. And then you kind of make a crust out of it. And then you mix like Oreo cookie, peanut butter. You put peanut butter, the whole jar of peanut butter in the 180 so it melts. Mm-hmm. And then you put it into the little cream and some chocolate stuff. And then you just kind of mix it up. And then you squeeze a pack onto the thing. And
I don't even remember how to do it now. It's like, well, I remember it was like, I can sell it. You know, I was selling those pieces of pie. You can make like 8 pieces.
Yeah.
Pro level chef.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I learned how to cook pretty well, I think, you know. And I actually, like in prison, one of the ideas I had about making money was like, let's make a recipe book out of prison food. And I was like, I thought it was the greatest idea, right? I was like, oh my gosh. And even when I came out, I'm at home now and with my kids and my wife, and I'm like, let me make you guys something. And I was like trying to make this like prison stuff, and they're like, what is this, Dad? Like,
yeah. It was kind of nasty. Yeah, looking at it,
But after a while, I was like, man, I was kind of craving it. And then like 6 months goes by, a year goes by, and I'm like, I don't remember prison food anymore.
No, man.
Yeah.
No, ain't nothing to remember.
You remember the nachos?
Order at a Porto's.
Oh, yeah, the nachos. Yeah. This guy.
Oh, you had the nacho king?
He had some nachos.
I don't think I ever had it.
Tell us how you made your nachos.
Oh, you was. You
Why
was,
didn't you offer me any?
Oh, man.
Because you only ate peanut butter. You only ate peanut butter.
Man, I had the summer sausage. I would get a real hamburger from the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Onions, peppers, the chili packets. Remember those?
Yep.
I put the chili in there, summer sausage, cheese. Pickles, just anything that sounded good.
Yeah. Wait, what kind of cheese was it?
It
wasn't Velveeta.
We had a couple different kinds of cheese. Really? Remember we had the squeeze cheese?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The
We had the squeeze cheese and the mozzarella.
Okay.
Yeah. And we just had so much stuff in that thing, man. You eat it, and you couldn't move after you got done. It was real heavy on your stomach.
Yeah, and you made it into little round Tupperware.
Tupperware balls, yep.
I still never had a chance to eat those nachos.
Man.
He'll make you some.
Kind of hurt.
He'll make you some.
I don't need it now.
Oh, shoot.
I do.
Yeah.
I did towards the end of my bid.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, what about you?
I think you was too busy doing burpees.
Yeah, I was trying to do burpees. Now I can't do one.
Yeah, but. That food, man, was definitely, you know.
Was it different? Because I know you did state as well. Was the food there different?
Well, in my state, where I was from.
What state?
Ohio.
Okay.
He's talking about state prison, not state.
He's talking about state prison.
Okay. Yeah.
So Ohio. We got to order out. We was allowed to order out once a month.
What?
Yeah.
With DoorDash?
You need money?
DoorDash?
You had money in your books or what?
No, they had like a program. It was a program through the NAACP where they allowed you to order from any restaurant. Well, the restaurants of their choice. I remember ordering Domino's pizzas. One time I had like 5 pizzas.
Everyone got to order?
Yeah. As long as you had money.
Oh.
I ordered McDonald's Big Macs. One time I ordered like 8 Big Macs.
You would have came there with Wagyu. No. Yeah. Sam would have came with Wagyu steak and all that order. We would have killed it.
But there's only a certain amount of money you can have in your books, bro, right?
Not in state.
You can have a lot.
You can have whatever.
Yeah.
Because in feds, it was like $300 a month.
$300. Yeah.
You were like $300 is all you can get.
Yeah.
State, you can load up.
Yeah.
Damn. Yep. And you can order food whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yep.
Should have went to state.
We got to order out. We had our own flat screen TVs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah. Video games.
Video games.
Yeah. That's like living like a little kid.
Man.
Without any responsibilities.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
The same as for you?
But
video games, microwaves.
You got cable TV?
Cable TV.
You got internet?
Not internet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now you just got to be able to pay for it and have it. How do you get delivered?
I did read about that before I went to prison. Well, and I was like, I hope our prison had that. And I was like, oh, I don't see any TVs.
Yeah.
There
wasn't any TV.
It's like in the commissary, though. You order from like commissary.
Yeah.
So, like TVs and stuff?
Oh, okay. So
well, they
can
give
legit.
You a sheet, you know, that you can get from the commissary. Like, if they ordering out that month, you can sign your name up and... You know, tell them what you want, and, you know, in a couple of weeks, it'll be there.
Can your family have it delivered?
No.
Or, you know, like, hey, I'm going to get you a TV, bring it there, and, you know, yeah, sectional couch.
That's in a Class D facility.
Well, they used to. They yeah, used to, but because when I, my first prison number, you was allowed to have boxes sent in from home.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You get boxes.
Man, guys was in there.
Care packages.
Okay.
Care
packages.
People stuff.
Starting
to
question where
stuff
we stayed at.
Yeah. Yeah. They had Jordans on. They was getting Jordans sent in, all yeah, type of jewelry. And
jewelry?
Yeah. That's how you're going to
see in the state,
get your ass beat and shit taken.
Well, you know, you wouldn't get no jewelry in if you couldn't keep
it. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But it was unreal. I said, wow. Just like that.
What'd you have brought in?
I got a couple. What'd you get? I got a couple boxes sent in. I had my Jordans and my little flip flops and house shoes. I was kind of comfortable.
And know? Then you guys got to Morgantown and the gig was up, man. We couldn't get anything.
Oh, yeah.
No, I saw people with stuff.
Nah, it was stuff on there.
Yeah. And you saw people because I think because we were in RDAP, you didn't see too much of that. But
yeah, we couldn't.
We saw people run the hill, grab some shit, and come back down.
I actually saw it.
Yeah, crucified. I remember. You got in trouble because you didn't say anything.
I didn't want to narc.
Yeah.
But I saw them too, man. I was just walking along the track area in the back. And I was literally walking with, oh, man, what was his name? I don't want to say it. I think his first name was Mark.
Mark.
I don't know.
But, you know, anyways, we were walking around the track, and I saw the first guy run out.
Yeah.
And then we just kept walking. You know, that's all we can do, walk, read, and all that stuff. And then I saw him come back.
With the bag.
With the bags.
Yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, man, only in this area.
Wait, he was an RDAP guy?
He was RDAP.
Shoot. I would have risked it if I was an RDAP.
He ended up actually going to the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got transported out because I think it was that and like a bunch of cell phones or something like that.
Wow,
that's one of the biggest things on the compound, though, smuggling stuff in, both state and federal.
But this one, man, these guys, at least at the state level, if they run out, they probably try not to come back.
Yeah, but they don't really run out. It'd be more so.
Now you're coming back with contraband.
A lot of contraband.
You know, if I'm leaving, I'm not coming back.
I never even heard of the word contraband until I started researching about prison. I was like, what the F is a contraband?
Contraband.
It's like anything is a contraband. Cigarettes are contraband.
Yeah.
Drugs are contraband. A cell phone. Anything illegal that you're not supposed to have is considered contraband.
Yeah.
What was the currency in state? Is it was cigarettes?
Stamps.
Envelopes.
Majority stamps.
Envelopes, stamps.
What are envelopes? Just regular envelopes?
Regular envelopes.
What the heck?
But they come with a stamp on them.
Stamp on it.
Yeah.
And our Morgantown was the stupidest currency. Mackerel.
Mackerels.
And what the heck? It's so hard. Like one mackerel is like $2 and it's like this big and this fat. Yep. How do you carry that around? You're like, what the heck? I was like, stamps are so much easier. You can hide it.
You can hide it.
Yeah, you want 10 mackerels? Dude, you got to carry a bag.
They did those blackjack rings where you have your mackerels up on the table or something
like that. Yeah.
You can see the mackerel on the video. You'll see it, but it's crazy. Like, you got to carry this around. And people are playing poker and gambling with Macs. And remember, like, the dealers? They're like the guys who are winning.
Yeah.
If you look at their like cubbies or whatever it's called, the little closets, dude, they would do raids and they would find 500 Macs.
500.
And you're like, what the heck are these guys? I mean, I'm like, if you have 500 stamps, it's easier.
It's easier.
You just stick 500 in your pocket. Mm-hmm. 500 Macs in a freaking little Mac.
That's how it normally is.
Dude, it's crazy.
I don't know who came up with that in Morgantown.
Dude, it's still dumb because, you know, you go to a barbershop in prison and you're supposed to get a free haircut.
Yeah.
But obviously, you got to tip the barber or he's not going to cut your hair well. I'm like taking mackerels in my pockets. I'm like, hey, bro, here, man. Yeah. Like,
we should have tried to change the currency.
I know.
When we were in there.
Who was those mackerels?
Let's devalue the mackerel.
Yeah. Right.
Man, some of them mackerels been in there.
I know. 10 years. It says expiration day 2010. Yeah. It's like, what the hell?
Nah, for real.
Does it lose its value?
Well,
no. Hey, if it's expired. Hey,
but this dude right here, I see him eating the mackerel.
Oh, yeah, you're eating the money.
That's no one eats mackerels. It's like the money, and this guy's sitting here eating mackerels.
Oh, man.
Oh, shoot, that's funny.
Man.
Hey, so, like, you see, like, remember, like, the entertainment, right, when we were there? Oof. Like, we did, like, work. You guys, you worked out, like, 6 times a day, like, 6 hours. Yeah. I kind of wanted to work out, but, like, it was kind of like, I don't know, never felt the mood. Like, it was just depressing, right? So the only thing that I did get involved was play basketball in the 40 over league. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's kind of intimidating, though, at first when you're playing, because, like, I'm, like, the only Asian dude playing, and everyone's calling me Jalen, Jeremy Lin. And I was like, I don't know if that was like a compliment or a derogatory thing, you know? It's like,
but you destroyed half of them,
dude. But I was on the younger side of the 40.
You didn't bring the ball up like what was his name?
Thunder.
Thunder.
No, not Thunder. It's Fred.
Oh, Fred. Saying, yeah. Oh, I remember Fred too.
He brought the ball up, all right.
I don't remember Fred.
But you always finished them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We actually went to the championship.
Everybody thought they were freaking Michael Jordan, though.
Yeah.
But Thunder, he lost his cool.
Yeah. And then they got in a fight, remember?
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck's going on right now? People are throwing punches.
They were all D1 players.
Oh, my God. Yeah, sure. It was crazy. A lot of different personalities, right?
Yeah, sure.
It's like, we're talking about Thunder. Like, these guys are named, they're not named Thunder.
Man.
You know why they called him Thunder?
Oh, man, that
I remember, like, something about, story about, like, nighttime, and he, like, got rattled and started, like, running or something.
He told me because he hit like thunder. You know, he was kind of big dude, so he probably done told a different story to every, probably told you a different story.
Yeah.
But he growled half the time. He didn't really talk.
Man. Yeah.
And thunder. He had his, like,
yeah, Charles
Barkley.
Yeah, he was,
man.
Charles Barkley looking cat, too, man. He was crazy. He's a big man.
Oh, man.
He loud.
Man. Well, remember Diddy? Diddy, he kind of looked like Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone thought he was Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Which one was Diddy?
He was in RDAP.
Young dude kind of blind her a little bit.
The guy who looked like Steph Curry.
Oh, okay. He's back. I heard he's back.
I heard that too.
A lot of people are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. One of our other buddies too, Hype.
Yep.
I heard he got back.
Yeah.
Kind of sad, but... That's why we keep saying, man, no matter what, you don't want to do something right or illegal to get back, you know, to get back into it.
Yeah.
But there are people, like, I did meet some guys, I don't remember names, but I did remember, like, those guys who were like, yeah, this is my third time coming back. I was like, why are you coming back? Don't you want to be out? He goes, no, I got no family. I got no experience for jobs. I get free food here. I just work a little bit, hang out with people, read, do whatever I want. I was like, oh, dude, it's like you have zero responsibility and not have to stress about housing or food.
Right.
They live better in prison than the homeless people, right?
Yeah.
Some don't even want to, they don't want to leave.
They don't want to leave. So they do something else to come back.
Yeah.
Institutionalized.
Yeah. It was a guy I was in there with, he had been down for like 30 years. And, it was coming up on his out date, and he was nervous. He didn't know what to do. He didn't want to go home.
I wouldn't want to either. No. After 30 years?
Where'd he go, man?
Yeah.
I think wasn't no phones, wasn't no internet or nothing. Was it?
Yeah.
30 years? No. Because this is iPhone like 17 or something, right? Yeah. So iPhone's been around for 17 years. Imagine 13 more years prior to that was barely even cell phones.
You have there's no family. They're probably all gone. Or they don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Or they don't know who you are now.
Or they don't even know who you are, man. What do? You go back.
Yeah.
Might as well just stay at Morgantown.
His anxiety was through the roof. And, you know, I kind of felt bad for the guy.
I had anxiety. I only spent like 11 months inside. Yeah. So I was like, oh, shoot. Like,
I
had anxiety. You know, I was thinking about actually the other day about RDAP.
Oh, man. RDAP.
All the crazy things, but then I was thinking, I was like, I remember you. So in RDAP, right, you got to, do I use the word snitch or hold you accountable? What should I? That's kind of like snitching.
Yeah.
What is it? Like, you stand up and you say,
Like I would be, because I think I had to, I did you for smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I remember that.
I have you and I struggling with smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
I actually had you stand up and I was like, morning, I'm.
I remember that. I remember that too.
Mr. Harvey, because we could, I couldn't call you Day.
My heart was in my stomach.
Can you please stand up?
Yeah, yeah.
I hold you accountable because you smelled like cigarettes.
I remember that.
Dude, every time, though, if you look at the DTSs, when someone brings it up, you look at their face and they got this evil, like, we got him.
Yeah.
It's like that evil smile, like, oh my gosh, I hated that.
Those were our counselors. We were actually talking about that. You could be the DTSs. Or the drug treatment specialist as a counselor is their favorite one day. And you do one thing wrong.
They had their favorites for sure.
Oh, what happened with me?
Yeah.
You know who was their favorite?
When I first came in.
He was?
Man, I was scared to death of him when I first came in.
Dude, eventually, who their favorite was?
Who?
Yates.
Yeah.
Oh, remember that?
Man. Oh, that guy.
Because that guy snitched on everybody.
Yeah, he was the snitch.
Yeah.
That paperwork's probably crazy.
On him,
did it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did get kicked out.
He got kicked out.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
He used to tell on me every day.
I remember.
He told on everybody, man.
Yeah.
I think he harped on our cartoon a lot, too.
Yeah, he did. He was probably one of the guys.
Yeah.
And they did a search. Yeah. And I was like, holy crap, they got our cartoon.
Yeah. I remember when they found that too. We were just talking about that.
I think I checked him about that. Yeah, I think I checked him about that too. And he was shaking in his boots.
No, I didn't. He's stuttering ass.
Yeah.
No, but then he got kicked out.
He got kicked out.
I'm glad I didn't get kicked out.
Yeah.
Well, remember the counselors? Like, I forgot the guy's name.
Satterfield. It was Satterfield and it was another.
I don't remember.
Bird.
Big but Bird. Satterfield, he would always say to us, like, if you drive a car that costs more than $40,000, you're a criminal.
Yeah.
Or you're doing something criminal.
Oh,
like, what the heck?
Man.
Like, the heck?
Tell him about how I wasn't allowed to read a robbery report.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you got in trouble. They did a search. And, like, you can get magazines and books, right?
Yeah.
The Rob Report is supposed to be, like, luxury. And they're like, if you read that, you're going to think criminally. Right. Yeah. And you're going to want these things, these things. So instead of, like, wanting to desire to be successful, they're like, oh, because I know you're not going to be successful.
Yeah,
you're going to go into the life of crime to get this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
That mindset is, like, jacked up.
It's
like,
crazy.
Instead of motivating people, it's like... Well, yeah, don't. It's okay. You get out of prison, go work at McDonald's or do dishes, and that's all you can strive
that's
for.
All you strive for.
And if you do beyond that, you make more money, you're doing something criminal.
Yeah. Yep.
It's insane.
Because that was part of my treatment goal, not to look at.
I remember that treatment goal.
Magazines with cars in them.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of guys who've been down for like 20, 30 years, remember like, talking to some guy and I'm overhearing these guys talk about like girls and like, oh, I got a girlfriend, da da da. He's showing pictures.
Yeah.
And he shows a picture of this Instagram page.
Yeah,
and it's like, he goes, oh yeah, that's my girlfriend. I'm like, bro, that's like Instagram model. Yeah.
Man.
Remember that? And they're like, no, that's my girlfriend. Cause he didn't even know what Instagram is.
Yeah.
And people are like looking at him like, no, what are you talking about?
You know, prison, that's the only place
you
got to
create your identity
and be anybody who you want to be.
Right. And we have a song about that, right?
We
create a
song.
Tell me anything. Exactly. People are like, oh, yeah, because for the most part, they don't know who you are unless they got some sophisticated way of finding out.
Mm-hmm.
But you can say things like, yo, I'm a billionaire. You don't even know when I'm out, like, and you're like, what? You don't even talk or act like a billionaire.
Yeah, but don't go to the store not one
time. Because he has no money in his books.
That's the first sign.
Right? You're like,
looking, do you get commissary?
Yeah, you got nothing.
Or they commissary
get
back real little.
Yeah.
Never at the commissary.
Yeah. Man.
The gamblers that never lose.
The gambler. Oh yeah, what was that guy's name?
Oh,
from Maryland. DC.
Who?
McNabb. Oh my god.
The
guy said,
he goes,
I never lose money on baccarat. He goes,
baccarat.
Yeah, and he's like, dude, you don't even know. Let me show you my strategy. And I was like, bro. I was like, what'd you come into prison for? He goes, drugs. Okay, so if you knew how to make unlimited money on Baccarat, why would you be selling drugs?
Yeah. Man. Yeah, because you like the action.
Yeah, he's crazy, dude. He was talking about, I was a nightlife promoter. And dude, he was the craziest dude.
Yeah, he was wild.
Yeah, he was kind of weird.
Damn, who else was there?
Irby.
Irby.
Remember him? How's he sleep in anything.
Hey, man, what's up, guys? Yeah, like, dude, he had that unique voice. Yeah, it was like he was a cool cat.
Tone low.
Yeah. And he would walk around all like smooth and like with chewing his glasses, with his little...
He'd be chewing on his tongue, too.
Yep.
Wasn't Irby the guy that could find the different ways to take a nap and look like he was busy?
Everywhere.
Yeah. He'd be sleeping in the bed now.
Under the bed.
Or sleep in a position where he looks like he's folding his bed. Well, yeah, we couldn't sleep, though, because it was our dab. So there's certain places where you can take a nap no matter how tired you were, man.
If you're in general population, you can just go to your bed and sleep.
Yeah,
as long as it's not like anything you're not supposed to. But in our dab during the day, you're supposed to work or be productive. And so until we eat dinner.
4 o'clock
And he's like sitting there.
Yeah.
But you don't remember the time that he gave feedback.
Huh?
You don't remember the time he gave feedback to the one guy, right?
Which one?
The guy can't remember. It was just sound.
Man, he said he was struggling. The guy got up and said he was struggling.
Didn't he say I was struggling?
No, but he said he got up and said I'm struggling with
with you struggling.
My family on the outside, you know, not being able to support themselves like they did when I was out. So Irby got up. This guy said, well, did you think about telling her to get some food stamps? I said, oh, man.
I do remember that.
You remember that?
I do remember that. That's pretty funny.
Man, that was so crazy.
But we were all laughing, but honestly, then it was like, felt so bad because it was like a serious topic.
Yeah,
and he
was
ready to, man. He doesn't get involved too often, but he wanted to speak that time.
Man, he wanted to speak that because he had to get feedback.
He had to get feedback.
Yeah.
I don't even think we made it through that without laughing.
Man.
Nah, those were definitely the days. Thank God, though, we're not doing that anymore.
That ain't it.
Yeah, that ain't it, man.
You know, but now we got the cartoon coming up. Yes, coming up here soon.
Yes, sir.
That's going to be definitely exciting. What more now, you know, before we conclude? What's going on with yourself, you know, now? We start with you, Zoe. What do you got going on now, man?
Kind of really out here with y'all. I know I discussed on the last episode, but the website. I'm still in the trucking industry. Kind of think about getting out, though. I had a nice time with it, but it's time to move forward. So.
Sometimes timing. Like, you gotta move on to next. You learn what you learn.
Yeah. I'm getting into the teaching part. I like teaching more for some reason.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And how about you? Yourself, Tay?
Oh, well, I'm kind of with Zoe. We got a dispatch course that we put together. And as I'm a barber as well, you know. Right. So I've been cutting hair for like 30 years.
How much you charge?
Right now I'm only charging like $40.
All right.
A cut.
Is that average?
I'm in school.
Oh, you're in school.
Yeah, I'm in school, but, you know.
Dude, barbers used to be so cheap, though. I remember, like, go to the barbershop, it's like $20. Now, like, it's like $40, $50, $60.
I remember it was like
$15. They're, like, stylish.
Shit, yeah, so.
I'm asking my barbers, like, how much you make? He's like, $120,000.
Yep.
Shoot.
Yeah. I know a barber.
And mostly cash.
Yeah.
No taxes.
That's like making $150.
Yeah, no tax. I know a barber made $180.
I know. There's guys who work a lot. So, like, I'll tell you the story. Like, there's a guy who was like a financial investment advisor guy.
Yeah.
And he was probably making like $300,000-$400,000 a year. And then by the time that his kids were going to college, in order, because like if you make too much money, the colleges don't give you any money. So you got to like pay full amount. And colleges these days are like $80,000 to $90,000 a year.
Yeah.
But if you don't make a lot, they give you grants. And they deduct the price. So, like, instead of paying $80,000, you might pay like $25,000 or less. Or sometimes it can be free.
Okay.
So then he quit his job as a financial advisor. Then he became a barber. And then for until his kids went through college, he was making like $250,000 cash, not reporting it, still living the lifestyle, and then went back to that industry and finance after his kids went to college.
Yeah.
And he said, I got a full ride. His kids got a full ride because he was making zero income.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So barber, that's a good man. But I think you just have to market yourself properly.
Right.
Then you have more clients.
Right.
And like, so like Tony, like what I'm doing after prison is like, I've been an entrepreneur all my life and I'm trying to figure out different things. I've been marketing, doing consumer acquisition in digital world and call center world. And I'm doing stuff in legal. I was doing stuff in legal, and I'm getting out, and I'm trying to do more of like the podcasting. So like you might see my face and my voice more, but like I'm kind of excited about like just voicing people's opinions, thoughts, and mindset, and like going into different parts and trying to elevate people who are general people. Like for me and our producers, we're talking about like people like us who are like
liberating.
It doesn't have to be like talking. The Joe Rogans. It doesn't have to be like the big famous people who have these podcasts and trying to have like millions and millions of subscribers. It's like we all have a voice and we can talk about our experiences. You know, I have one about gambling. I got one about prison.
Yeah.
But it's like just telling our stories and you get excited. And what they call like our producer calls like the tribe, right? It's like tribe. Like we know that people are here to listen and we have a niche of like people who want to hear our stories. And that's kind of like, I'm excited about that and we want to promote that. So like, you know, whether you make money or not, hopefully you do things and follow your passion and you make money. But like, that's what I'm focused on right now.
Yeah. Sure. And it definitely is fun.
It's fun
getting up here and talking.
Oh yeah.
You know, as for myself, you know, I've just been blessed to meet you guys and blessed working for Sam and, you know, helping push his vision, you know, for the podcast and everything. But, you know, other than that, thank you again, Tay.
Hey, I'm sure we'll have you guys on the show again.
Yes,
sir. And thank you guys.
Yep.
And thank you again for tuning in to our podcast, Criminal Code, again, where we talk all things prison. Keep those questions coming in, and you know we'll get those answers in future episodes. Thank you again. Have a great day. Jump in some water. Walk around smelling like an onion all day.